Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh good Lord, she had them long tail legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express back here again. And it is time to talk sports. Let's get to it, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the sports world, of course. We've had the Players' Championships over the weekend. And, there's a lot of football action to be talked about as well.
And definitely can't forget baseball action as we get towards pennant chases and wild cards and all kinds of craziness. And not to forget something we hit on last week, the Ken Griffey Jr. induction into the Seattle Mariners Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, the Ken Griffey fans, I mean, it was a great weekend up in Seattle. Of course, Sean Wally, you had the chance to be up there and be a part of the festivities. You know, I can only imagine, you know, of course, it was a packed house on Saturday. But, give us the vibe on what it was like to actually be there to see one of baseball's greats go into the Mariner Hall of Fame.
Well, to start, on Friday, there was a Ken Griffey Jr. Hall of Fame induction luncheon at Safeco Field where the entire infield was tables and catered food, and it was a minimum $100 just to eat and be there.
Wow.
People were paying upwards of $400 to be there as well. And, of course, you had all the former Mariner greats, the six other members of the Seattle Mariner Hall of Fame, and Junior's family, his wife, his kids, of course, Ken Sr., Junior's mom. And it was just great to hear the speeches, the stories, and to be, as you said, a part of the festivities and witness it firsthand. And then, of course, Saturday night, you had 47,000 strong at Safeco Field, something that hasn't been seen in quite a while, except for maybe opening night, which is always a great spectacle. And it was just amazing to reminisce, to see the great highlights. And not only that, but to show people that maybe weren't into baseball then or didn't really follow, or maybe they weren't old enough then to understand what we were seeing in one of the greatest players in not only Mariner history, but Major League Baseball history.
And, you know, Sean, I have to be honest with you, man, I am truly jealous of the fact that you had the chance to get up there, of course, at Safeco Field. And, you know, man, you know, to watch one of our favorite players get inducted into the Mariner Hall of Fame, I can only imagine. You know, I had the chance to peek in and take a look at a video, and just watching the video, Sean Wally, was touching. You know, getting the chance to see how Griffey became Ken Griffey Jr. and how he, you know, it wasn't even about himself, it was more about his teammates. And he directed attention not only to announcers, but he directed it to his teammates. And, you know, one of the things that had me, you know, at a point of where I'm like, wow, this is definitely one of the greatest players to ever play a sport, period, was when he had something great to say about one of his teammates, and that is one of Jay Buhner. And, you know, the biggest thing that I took away from that was is he, you know, in this day and age where there's a lot of selfishness going on and there's a lot of, you know, people that are out for themselves and you know, taking these PEDs and all that kind of stuff, you know, he actually took the time out to talk about a teammate and Jay Buhner and say, hey, man, if there anything were to ever happen to me, Jay Buhner would be the one to take care of my kids. You know, man, I thought, wow, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, building friendships, building relationships. And on top of that, you know, Junior actually looking over to the dugout and actually looking at that young baseball team and saying, hey, you know, we were young just like you. You know, it was me and Jay Buhner and the big unit, Randy Johnson. And, you know, we're all young and you guys could actually do the same things. those are the feel good stories that I like, Sean Wally. You know, those things outside of what we've been hearing, is, you know, from the NCAA and, you know, in football and from Major League Baseball as of recent. You know, those are the things that I love, and it couldn't happen to a greater person than Ken Griffey Jr.
Well, I don't know if you noticed part of the comical bit of when Jr. was talking about Buehner, and as you mentioned, saying that his kids would be raised by Buehner if anything happened, God forbid, to the Griffies. But did you notice the part where Buehner took his tie to wipe away tears and then kind of flicked his nose with the bird to get back at Jr.? And that was a very lighthearted and funny moment.
Yeah, well, you know, Jr. talked about, you know, being on both, you know, coming from two separate sides of the tracks. You know, one likes country music, the other one likes rap and hip hop, and, you know, the whole nine. And, you know, if you know Jay Buehner, you know that this guy, they called him Bones for a reason. I mean, he's bad to the bone. And to actually have a moment like that was actually great for Mariners fans all together and great for Major League Baseball.
And I know that here on the Double with the Double S Express, we have a lot of Raider Nation followers and listeners. And I want to let you know that one of your all-time great running backs, Bo Jackson, was kind enough to give a video message to Griffey and tell him that he was sorry he couldn't make it to Seattle, but he will make it to Cooperstown in 2016 when Junior is in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Man, that is awesome. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to see that. And, of course, Bo Jackson, you know, there are fond memories, you know, back in the L.A. days, the Los Angeles Raiders days, where Bo Jackson ran all over, you know, defenses and everything. And, of course, you know, there's that extra in me that loves Bo Jackson. For one, we're Auburn University alums, War Eagle to him. And so that's great that, you know, he actually sent that shout out to a great ball player in Ken Griffey Jr.
Switching gears, we move to basketball now. We go out to the phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one. That is Rashad Powell, commissioner of the Seattle Basketball Pro-Am. Rashad, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Glad to be a part.
Hey, Rashad, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Hey, so there was a great weekend this past weekend in Seattle. I believe Kevin Durant was in town for the Pro-Am.
Unbelievable. Huge weekend of basketball. There hasn't been a bigger weekend or day of basketball in Seattle for quite some time that I can think of. Talking to some people, drew some comparisons. The last big basketball event to this kind of thing, this magnitude, is not to put it in any comparison with the NBA, but there hasn't been this much excitement or buzz around a basketball event since probably the finals, when the Sonics were in the finals. In terms of that, you know, it was really incredible to see the outcome of people that wanted to see Kevin Durant and really welcomed him back with a warm reception. That was really incredible to see and to be a part of.
Yeah, Rashad, you mentioning that, you know, the fans giving the love and the respect, that is one thing that has never left. And for those of you who know that Seattle went through this big, big spectacle as far as getting a team back, I think that was a great salute to Kevin Durant to let him know that, man, he's still loved. He's still a Seattle Supersonic, no matter, you know, how much or no matter what jersey he puts on now in Oklahoma City. And I think that was a great thing for the Seattle fans to do.
You know, I think, you know, if it was up to him, he would have, you know, I don't think would have opted or chosen to leave. He actually, you know, has no say-so in that kind of situation. But like I said, he definitely came back, and, you know, I think it was big of him to come back because he obviously did not have to do that. He did that on his own recognizance, his own time and energy and money, and wanted to come back and be a part of that. And, you know, really, I think Seattle is going to embrace him even more. And like you said, I think in all of our true Seattle native hearts, he'll always be a Seattle Supersonic. Unfortunately, I love Kevin Durant. I love his game. I'll never be able to root for the team that's in Oklahoma. But, you know, he's really a great person off the court. And it was huge of him, like I said, to come back and give the fans that opportunity, especially with the absence of an NBA team still, you know, to get a, you know, by all accounts, he's probably the first or second best player in the world right now by many accounts. So to get him to come back and play in a summer league with some of his peers and for the city that drafted him is huge.
Rashad Powell, commissioner of the Seattle Basketball Pro-Am, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Rashad, how did you get involved in the Pro-Am and walk us through that process of how you became the commissioner and where you're at now?
Well, my father, Randy Redwine, has always coached in the Pro-Am. It's kind of gone through some phases, so I'll take you kind of through a quick trip. So there's always been a Pro-Am Summer Basketball League. And probably in 96 or 97, Doug Christie sponsored the Pro-Am when it was at Seattle University. At that time, I was a sophomore in high school. Again, my dad has always coached in the Pro-Am. So I was doing the score clock. And at that time, the only high school player that was anywhere near good enough to play with at that time were Doug Christie was really the primary NBA person that played in there, because at that time he was the only guy from Seattle in the NBA. So he came back and participated. And then there were other guys, that former collegiate players, international players at that time that were from and in Seattle that comprised the six-team league. The only high school player at that time that played was Jamal Crawford. And, you know, from there, and he and I have known each other since high school and just kind of stayed in contact. And once I got to the point where I could play in the Pro-Am, I would play in the Pro-Am. And probably about 2009, Jamal would sponsor the Pro-Am. He would basically, you know, take care of everything that needed to be taken care of, and then there were people that organized it. About 2009, I was finishing playing in Saudi Arabia. I had a lot of free time on my hands, and I kind of just came up with a lot of ideas that they used when Doug Christie was sponsoring the Pro-Am, and I forwarded that information on to a person who was coordinating the Pro-Am. And then, long story short, by default, by the time I got back, no one really was stepping up to the plate to kind of put things in order to give the league some structure. Because there's always been, in recent years, there's been a lot more talent, a lot more guys in the NBA. And, you know, these guys are my, you know, friends, peers. I know them. Some of them are younger. And so kind of the idea is giving them a place where they can play competitive basketball in the summer with other competitive high-level players to keep them sharp and improve for when they go back to their respective teams in the NBA. So just by Jamal and I being friends, I just kind of by default started coordinating the league at the same time I play in the league. So it's just been a great opportunity, just kind of being in the right place at the right time, and just putting structure and organization behind the talent that's already there, and the basketball pieces, and giving it an organization again and direction of where we're going. And it's been an absolute pleasure being a part of the league, seeing it grow from where it's grown to where it is now, and hopefully to where it's going. To the point where we, you know, we started the league. It was being played at Rainier Beach High School. Then we transitioned from Rainier Beach High School to Rainier Vista Boys and Girls Club on Martin Luther King. And then from there, now we've gone to Seattle Pacific University. And so our venues have kind of changed and grown. We've had, you know, through the years, our first guest player that we ever had was, I believe, John Wall. And that was a huge success and hit that packed the gym, and people were, you know, grateful to see him. And then following years, we've had other guys come, DeMarcus Cousins, Trevor Ariza, Jeremy Pargo, have come and played. And now this year we've had Tyreke Evans, and of course now Kevin Durant. We're expecting Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin, and Jeff Green this coming weekend. And you know, that's on top of our local NBA guys that play. And I think a lot of times people take that for granted, because, you know, we have on a weekly basis, there's Jamal Crawford, Isaiah Thomas, Nate Robinson, Martell Webster, Spencer Hawes. We've seen Terrence Williams this summer came out and played. In the past, Aaron Brooks has played. Rodney Stuckey's played. So, you know, Tony Roden Jr. So I think, you know, being from Seattle, sometimes people take that for granted, but these are, by all accounts, some of the best players in the world. They just happen to be from here. So it's been a great thing to be a part of. I'm very blessed and fortunate to be a part of that, both as a player and as an organizer. I have a great team of people that I work with to put this on. So it's not just me doing this. Bursabelle, Dante, Jerome, Michelle, Brady, Marcella. I have a great team, and including the staff that are there every week doing stats, my security team. So it's a great group of people that makes the final product a great thing.
Just an amazing event you guys have going on. Many weekends all summer, the Seattle Basketball Pro-Am at Seattle Pacific University. You can get out every weekend through August 31st, where the championship will be Saturday, August 31st. And a lot of the names that are involved in not only playing on the court that are on the rosters, but also some of the coaches were involved previously in the International Basketball League, and that is where, Rashad, where we first kind of came together and knew about you and called games for the Tacoma Thunder, and you were playing for the Seattle Mountaineers, among other IBL teams, and talk about your playing days and what you learned traveling the country and the world, and how you relate that to the guys playing here in the Pro-Am this summer.
Well, my basketball experience has been definitely a great experience, life experience, basketball experience. Played in the ABA, the IBL, had the opportunity to play internationally in Chile, Mexico, Dubai, Lebanon, Indonesia. So those have all been great. Played in minor leagues, like I said, the ABA, IBL, forgot about the CBA as well in Albany, New York. So those experiences have all been great. A lot of great players in those leagues, guys trying to make it. Some guys just playing to play competitive ball. Some guys trying to make it to the NBA or internationally. A lot of those people I still keep in contact with. Those are all great experiences, great playing experiences that I'll always remember and cherish. And, you know, some of those grinds of, you know, far cry from the NBA because, you know, we're taking buses to games, and I remember in Mexico we took some cabs to games, and but like I said, at the end of the day, it's all great experiences. You know, now I've gotten a little older, there's some younger guys that I've either coached in high school or that I work with or interact with coordinating this league that I share my experiences with, that I share my, you know, contacts with, and trying to help them further their playing experience. And, you know, that's what I use this whole experience for, is just paying it forward and hopefully being a positive role model and positive mentor to some of those younger guys who are doing what I was once doing. Because I remember being in that position where I was, you know, so desperately trying to make it and get an opportunity and just play basketball, you know, to play basketball competitively. You know, and if you're fortunate enough to do that for a profession and a living to make money, to me, nothing against anyone else, there's not a better job in the world to do than to play basketball and be paid for it.
For those of you just tuning in, this is the voice of Rashad Powell, commissioner of the Pro-Am. Hey, Rashad, you had mentioned a lot of the players or the youngsters who are coming up, and obviously they're, you know, we talk about an East Coast, West Coast bias. But more importantly, there's also a Pacific Northwest bias as well. When you talk about the players that have come out of Seattle, you had mentioned before Isaiah Thomas, Jamal Crawford, Martell Webster, Tony Roten, Aaron Brooks, Nate Robinson, the list goes on and on. And of course, in the next year, it looks like there's a rite of passage for players to come in. I'm believing Peyton Siva might come back and play next year. How much does that mean to these young players, you know, getting a chance to see these guys year in and year out?
Again, I think it's sometimes people take it for granted because, you know, I talk to people, and I'll use one for example, not just because he's my friend, but like Jamal Crawford. He's one of the best players in the world. He's one of the best, absolute best basketball players in the world. And I think people, in Seattle, because he's so accessible, because he's so down to earth, and you can, I mean, you can see Jamal playing at an LA Fitness, you know, and he's a gym rat, and you'll see him all over, and he's, again, a down to earth guy who will sign any autograph, take any picture, and I think people take that for granted sometimes. So, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity for, you know, guys that are involved in the league, people that are watching the league, to get to interact with and see guys like this play on a weekly basis, you know, because, again, especially with the absence of our NBA team, we're able to see these guys, you know. And I remember, we remember, you know, Jamal and I often talk about this, what it was like growing up and dealt with Doug Christie being the lone NBA player, like, and, you know, he wasn't just really accessible. Nothing against him, and not to say that, you know, anyone has to be, but, you know, we couldn't, if you want to see an NBA player, we had to go down to the Key Arena and, you know, buy a ticket and do that, you know, or maybe catch him at a basketball camp. Now, you know, these guys are here on a literally on a weekly basis, and they're playing, and they're accessible, and they're great people, and they mentor the younger guys. You know, not only there's some high school, some of the top area high school players that are on rosters, and some, you know, a couple of community college players and some Division II players, and guys that are fresh out of Division I and other college levels that are looking to pursue their careers, and these guys are great mentors to them. You know, they don't treat it as I'm an NBA player, don't bother me, give me the ball, let me shoot. They interact and play basketball with them and teach them, you know, different techniques and tips on how to improve and how to become a better basketball player. And, you know, what better teacher, mentor, or tool could you have than to learn firsthand from an NBA player? You know, so it's great on all levels. And, you know, I just look to continue to do that and continue to foster that. That's what's going on. And I think that's what continues to breed the high level of basketball, because these guys are coming and giving back. They're, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the term paying it forward, they're paying it forward. They're working with these young guys, not, you know, high school guys, college guys, and to continue the tradition that we're having, you know, of all these guys that are making it to big-time college and NBA and high-level international. That's what it comes from, is I think that kind of pool where it's like a, I don't want to call it a fraternity, but for lack of a better term, like a fraternity or a group that sticks together and works with each other and understands that we're all equally important to each other's success.
That's good stuff. That's definitely good stuff. So, Rashad, you've had the chance to actually play in the IBL. Having strong tutelage from your father. What's the difference? I mean, because there's such a great success in the Seattle basketball pro-am, what's missing in the IBL? Is there something that I'm missing here? Because, I mean, again, you're doing such a great job in the pro-am. What could be done better in the IBL?
I think the tough thing with the IBL is that I think things have to be kept into just kind of in proportion in terms of knowing your audience. I kind of have an advantage because who doesn't want to see Kevin Durant and all the other names that we've mentioned throughout this show? Now, the hard part with minor league basketball, whether it's IBL, ABA, CBA, and even the NBDL, is as great as a basketball player as I think I am, I'm not going to pack any arena or gym, you know, not because I can't play basketball, but because basketball-wise, I'm not a huge name or draw like that.
Sure.
So I think things like that have to be kept into perspective, and not to say that you can't want or you know, have a big vision for what your product is, but I think a lot of it is placement, the audience, who you're catering to, pricing a lot. Now, keep in mind, you know, we're charging now. Again, this weekend we had Kevin Durant here again, second best player in the world. Nowhere on earth are you going to be able to pay $5 and go see Kevin Durant playing a basketball game, ever. And I think sometimes some of the mistakes that are made on the minor league levels, I don't want to call them mistakes because I know there's overheads and costs, but pricing for one. I don't know that I'd pay $15 or $20 to come see me play, because who is that? You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
especially for a community where, you know, or area where basketball might not be that big, or your product is just, you're trying to get it off the ground. So I think a lot of those things play a huge role in terms of crowds and fan and growing it. I don't think Seattle necessarily is a great location for an IBL team because there's so many other things that you have to compete with, and you don't have any, you know, in your draw is not going to be that big because you're not, the names that you're going to have playing in that aren't that big, so to speak. So smaller, you know, smaller cities maybe might be better. But I think it's a good league with a good potential. Talent-wise, I don't think you're going to get the cream of the crop like a pro-am, a summer league pro-am is going to get, because I would say the top guys, you know, are still playing in their respective international countries and are, or minor leagues, and they're away. So you're kind of getting that next, that second or third tier level of guys that are here. Not there's anything wrong with those guys, but you know, in terms of getting the word out and that, it just kind of takes a lot. And like I said, not that I have everything figured out or have all the answers, but the thing that I kind of used from the pro-am standpoint was that we started off small, and this is my kind of third, fourth year doing this, and we progressed to the Seattle Pacific University, you know, kind of starting off and figuring out what was going to work, what wasn't going to work, what needed to be done. So I think those kind of things all play a part into there. And then, you know, I would say the one of the key ingredients I think that is missing now from the IBL is that stakeholders, you know, a lot of stakeholders in the basketball community are not really present or involved in a lot of the teams that are popping up, whether it be in Tacoma, Olympia, Seattle. The people that have kind of laid the foundation or are very involved, the basketball community in Seattle, are not really involved in what's going on. Not to say that you can't be successful, but, you know, I think that would be a beneficial tool for the IBL, is to make sure you get all those stakeholders, all the people that know and have been there, and know the, you know, personnel of basketball and kind of communities, getting those people involved. And I think the sooner that you do that, or the more that you do that, it will increase your success.
Commissioner of the Seattle Basketball Pro-Am and also a player in the Pro-Am here with us on the Double with the Double S Express, Rashad Powell, kind enough to join us on short notice tonight. We thank you very much for your time. And Rashad, next time you see former big-time guest of our show and player in your league, Donald Watts, as well as coaches Mosley and Claxton, and we can't forget our former big time guest and your sometimes public address announcer, Nick Beckman, be sure to say hi to them, give a shout out from the Double S Express to those guys, and much success in the future, continued success. And the championship for the Seattle Basketball Pro-Am is August 31st at Seattle Pacific University. And if there's anything the Double S Express can do to help you get the word out, be involved, if not this year, maybe next summer, we'd love to help out.
Without a doubt, I appreciate you guys reaching out very, very, very much, and I was honored to be a guest. Anytime you would love to have me on again, I would love to be on here again, and I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
No doubt about it, Rashad. Have a good one, man.
All right, you guys too. Thank you.
Rashad Powell, commissioner and player in the Seattle Basketball Pro-Am, with lots of good words on the Pro-Am and basketball in general.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I was really excited about was is just looking, you know, and thinking about all of the players that come through the Seattle Pro-Am. And there are a lot of NBA players that have come through this Pro-Am. And, you know, it's a testament to the things that are going on with the Seattle Pro-Am and people like Rashad that are standing in the gap to make sure that they're bringing a great product to the fans, not just of Seattle, but, you know, fans all around the country.
All right, Sean, why don't you tell us what's coming up next?
So coming back from the break, Mr. Wally, after a strong performance from Rashad Powell, we have San Francisco Examiner beat writer for the 49ers, Paul Gackle. So keep it locked in. You are listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and it's time for big time guest number two. He is a returner, a great guest of the show. Let's go out to the phone lines and welcome in Paul Gackle of the San Francisco Examiner. Paul, thanks for joining us again tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, welcome to the show again, man. So I understand that you are at Stanford University right now. What's going on?
Well, first day of football practice down here for the Cardinal, and it's looking like it's going to be another fun year down here on the farm, starting the year number four on the coaches' poll. So it's pretty exciting to see the program moving on, you know, not only after Andrew Luck last year, but they're going to continue on this year, and looks like they're going to be pretty competitive again.
Wow. So, yeah, so number four preseason picked for the Stanford Cardinal. Who are some of the returners coming back that's going to help this Pac-12 team be one of the tops in the nation?
Well, Shane Scove is the middle linebacker. He's really sort of like the heartbeat, the emotional heartbeat of the team, and he's come back for a fifth year as a senior. And I think that's going to give the team just a huge emotional lift on defense. The defense should be pretty strong. They're bringing back Ed Reynolds. He's a safety in the secondary. Look for his name. Could be an All-American. And then you got David Yankee up on the line. Obviously, Stanford's, ever since Jim Harbaugh came down here, they've been pretty strong on the offensive line. And this will be Kevin Hogan's first full year under center at quarterback. You might remember he started the last five games, including the Rose Bowl, hasn't been beaten yet, and did what John Elway and Andrew Luck couldn't do, and that's bring a Rose Bowl to Stanford. So should be a pretty fun season.
Yeah, and of course, you know, being out here in the Bay Area, it's always exciting to have one of our Bay Area teams representing in the Pac-12. No offense to Oregon, because I have strong ties with Oregon, but it would be good to see either Stanford or, yeah, let's face it, Cal's not going to do it anytime soon, but have Stanford up there at the top of the polls.
Yeah, it's you know, it's going to be a fun game when they play Oregon. That's been sort of like the game in the Pac-12 for the last, I guess, two or three seasons, and John Elway will be getting his number retired. They're going to play on a Thursday night in October, so look forward to that game.
Well, we'll definitely mark that on our calendars.
Mark it on your calendars.
Yeah. So shifting gears, Paul, in the realm of the 49ers, there was a game that was played this past week. 49ers, what do you think? Was it a good start, or what say you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to make too much of these preseason things. I mean, I think it's a matter of, like, you know, filling out your practice roster and, you know, checking out your second and third stringers. So I don't know how much you can really make of it when you only have your first team in there for one series. But, you know, they definitely looked good out there when they had Colin Kaepernick on the field. They moved the ball in that one drive. And then after that, they looked a little bit sloppy, but I don't know how much you can read into that in terms of, you know, what kind of team they're going to be throughout the year. Obviously, they're going to be pretty competitive. I don't see them, you know, losing too many home games at the Candlestick, although Denver-San Francisco would be quite a matchup if that were, you know, the real deal.
Paul Gackle, kind enough to join us from the San Francisco Examiner, as well as GackleReport.com. Paul, a Canadian, a big hockey fan.
That's right.
You follow the Sharks and the Bulls. You follow the Bulls a lot more closely. Is that what I'm gathering?
Yeah, I follow the Bulls pretty closely. They're, you know, just right up there in San Francisco, just around the corner, kind of fun to get in and see some, you know, gritty minor league hockey. Kind of, you know, brings me back to the days up in Canada. You got a lot of guys coming in from the OHL, the WHL, so it's a pretty fun league. Would love to make it down to San Jose a little bit more. I do when I can, but if you guys know the Bay Area and all that, that can be a pretty grimy drive coming down from the East Bay where I live.
Oh, you know it.
You got to leave early. You got to be out your door by 2 at the latest if you want to make it down there. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting in the parking lot.
Getting back to the San Francisco 49ers, could they have a tougher two-game stretch than week one and week two, being at Green Bay and then at Seattle?
Well, Green Bay is actually at home at the Stick.
You're right. My bad.
But it's still a grind of a two-game, you know, stretch. And, you know, like I said, if you drop those two and you're down 0-2, all of a sudden there could be quite a bit of panic. And I don't think, even though the game's going to be held in San Francisco, I don't think you can consider the Green Bay Packers coming to town any type of gimme. And you've got to think that after, you know, what Kaepernick and the Niners did to knocking the Packers out of the playoffs last year, that Aaron Rodgers is going to come in here pretty motivated. And it should be the type of game, you know, that comes down to, you know, who plays the best in the fourth quarter, the last few minutes of the game there. So really look forward to that one. And then you go up to Seattle, and we all saw what the Seahawks did to the 49ers last year when they went up there in December on a Sunday night, one of the toughest buildings to go into as a road team. Going to be a lot of noise and a division opponent. I certainly don't think you can put that down as, you know, an automatic W when you're filling up the schedule. So it really is a tough road at the beginning for the Niners. And they have a lot of tough teams that they play this year. I think, we discussed this last time, but the NFC West is no longer, you know, really a pushover league. You got to think that the Rams are going to be a little bit better with Jeff Fisher, and the Arizona Cardinals, you know, they have some pieces to work with too. So it should be a good year all around for the league.
For those of you just tuning in, we have San Francisco 49ers beat writer and with the San Francisco Examiner, Paul Gackle. Paul, tell us what's going on with Patrick Willis. There's been some murmurs. I know he's out with an injury. How's that injury coming along?
Well, you're not going to see him play in the preseason here. That's as much as we know. And, you know, the Harbaugh team, they like to keep things pretty, you know, pretty much on tight wrapped, and you're not going to get a whole lot out of them. But from what we've heard, you know, he will be out for the entire preseason with his hand. And they expect to have him back for week one against the Packers. So, you know, only time will tell how he looks when he actually gets back out there on the field.
Now, it looks like the 49ers have, you know, this injury bug going around a little bit. One of their corners going out as of recent. Tell us what Nnamdi Asamoah, with his second stint back in the Bay at the NFL level, how is Nnamdi looking? Is it looking sketchy that he might not make the team?
You know, they've really been off on him again. I guess, like, the last sort of week, he looked not too bad there. In that preseason game, he laid a pretty good hit down, and some decent reports coming out of practice. But if you know, they also went ahead and signed Eric Wright from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
They made a trade for him previous to camp. They got voided because Wright supposedly failed the physical. Then the Buccaneers released him, and now the 49ers went out there and signed him again. So that, you know, is an indication that they obviously aren't exactly too happy with what they have in the defensive backfield. And, you know, like you say, Chris Culver blew his ACL, so he's gone. So, you know, I don't know that you can pencil Nnamdi in as a guy that's going to see a whole lot of minutes. Obviously, they did go out and get Rice, so they can't be, you know, just completely dependent on him. But he didn't look terrible in the preseason game either. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how he plays over the course of the next few preseason games, because like you said, it really is a tryout for him.
Paul, with Eric Wright, I'm scratching my head. And
you and me, you know, both.
They say he didn't pass his physical, so they vetoed the first go-around. And, of course, there was all kinds of backlash from non-49er fans of, you know, one day you've got Harbaugh saying you have to, you know, he's throwing spears at Seattle saying you have to play the game right and got to be clean and no cheaters. And then they want to bring in Eric Wright, who's been dinged for some type of PED, violating their substance abuse policy. And now they bring him back and sign him. So, A, do we know, did he really fail that physical, or did they just decide to say that and bring him back maybe cheaper now?
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know the details of what, you know, went on behind closed doors and how that actually went down. But, you know, it does seem like, you know, and the news had broken just the weekend before that of that he's, you know, facing DUI charges for an incident in Los Angeles in July. So what happened in the back room and the conversations where they all of a sudden Wright convinced him that, you know, he wants to be a new man and get a fresh start in San Francisco? And did he sell him on that whole idea? Or, you know, did the 49ers get desperate? You know, obviously with lack of depth there in the secondary, you know, it'd be interesting to know how that all went down and how these sort of changes of faces took place. But like I said, getting, you know, a whole lot of information at Jim Harbaugh is not really the easiest thing. They keep that thing locked down pretty tight. And at the first day of practice there, when a lot of questions were being asked about Eric Wright and, you know, why would you sign him in lieu of the statements that you made regarding the Seattle Seahawks, Harbaugh pretty much punted on every question and said those are questions for Trent Baalke. He's the general manager. He's the one who makes these decisions. So the whole thing is pretty confusing, and it will be interesting to see how it plays out over the course of the season. Harbaugh is already now trying to spin it as this is going to be one of the great comeback stories. This guy wants to turn his life around, and we're going to give him a chance here, and it's just going to be a great football story. So we'll see if that actually plays out that way.
As the world turns in Santa Clara.
Right.
Paul Gackel, thank you so much for your time on short notice tonight. We appreciate it so much, and we definitely want to have you back the Monday of week one, right before San Francisco at Seattle in week two.
Well, definitely would love to talk to you guys. Looks like every week's going to be exciting down here this year, so it's going to be fun.
Definitely. And I know there's a big game coming up this, I believe, is it Friday, Kansas City?
Yeah, they're going out to Kansas City, so it's the first time that Alex Smith will play his former teammate.
Oh, man.
Obviously, it doesn't have the same sort of you know, intrigue that it would if it were a regular season game, because, you know, everybody's taking reps at this point. But still, a nice little subplot, you know, as we wait for that week one showdown with the Packers.
Great insight on Stanford, the San Francisco 49ers, and also a little hockey talk with Paul Gackel. You can find him on Twitter at Gackel Report, and of course, his blog, GackelReport.com. Paul Gackel, thanks so much for your time. We hope to talk to you in the near future.
Thanks, John, Paul. And we'll talk to you soon.
Man, so much going on in the Bay, you can't hardly keep up, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, man, you know, that's the beauty of it all. You've got, you know, the Raiders and the Niners, and you got the A's and the Giants, and, you know, the Golden State Warriors doing their thing, and then over here in Sacramento with the Kings as well, if you wanted to throw them in. There's something constantly going on. Oh, and I can't forget my San Jose Sharks fans. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. You know, if you throw in MLS soccer as well, there's never a dull moment in the Bay.
Special thanks to Paul Gackel joining us for the second time here on the Double with the Double S Express. And coming up, we've got to wrap up the show. Show number 14, almost in the books. Come on back the other side for more insight, and we will wrap up the show after this on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, wrapping up show number 14. It's been a good show, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, it's been a great show. Of course, Rashad Powell coming on earlier, the commissioner of the Seattle Pro-Am. And, of course, this last guest, Paul Gackel from the San Francisco Examiner, talking 49ers and Stanford Cardinals.
And, of course, we had the big Griffey weekend in Seattle. He is now a member of the Seattle Mariners Hall of Fame. And notwithstanding, no irony here, he is the number seventh man to make it into the Mariners Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, and again, kudos and shouts out go to Ken Griffey Jr. and, you know, the accomplishments that he has. You know, I mean, there's just... I mean, you can go on and talk about what type of person he is, you know, what type of leader he was in the locker room. And, of course, that sweet swing that captured the hearts of many in Seattle and far beyond there.
And one of the things they did at the beginning of the ceremony was the powers that be with the Northwest chapter of Make-A-Wish Foundation gave Griffey a great award from Make-A-Wish, and there was, of course, a highlight package of photos and stories of lives he has touched, and how at the very young age of 19, the very first year he was a member of the Seattle Mariners, he started granting children's wishes, and if they asked for 30 minutes, he would give 1 hour or 2 hours. If they asked for an hour, he would give two or three or 4 hours. He always went above and beyond and made those children feel like they were the only thing that mattered.
Yeah, you know, that's the type of person Ken Griffey Jr. is. And, you know, he's got a big heart, never did anything erratic, you know, that would cause you to question any of his character or any of the things that he was about. And, you know, just, you know, it's not far and in between. Actually, there are a lot of other athletes like that out there. It just has to be put into the media's perspective as far as these great guys. But I'm glad that they honored Ken Griffey this past weekend. I did kind of want to talk a little bit about, you know, one of the current athletes that's doing some great things as well. And that is one of LeBron James. I don't know if you've heard, Sean, that some of the stuff that's that he's been doing in the public. For one, he's kind of toned it down as far as wanting to run for the NBPA president, being the president of the Players Association. But, you know, a big-hearted gentleman like LeBron, what he's done is he went back to his old high school and he bought all the uniforms for all of the sports. And if you haven't had a chance to take a look at these football uniforms that he purchased for that team, you can tell that he's not skimping. You know, it looks a lot like the University of Oregon. So, you know, there are some athletes out there that are doing some great things and, you know, getting back to Griffey. You know, it's young men such as himself that actually paved the way for these players today to do these great things.
Well, that's an awesome, awesome gesture and a way to give back to his high school and his community, LeBron James, buying jerseys at his high school.
Yeah, you know, I know that there's a lot of people out there that want to jump on the hater bandwagon, and you know, and I get all of that. If you're not a Miami Heat fan, that's great, you know, but you can't take away from some of the things that people such as LeBron James, what he's doing in the community, and he's putting it to the task on the basketball court as well. You know, just being that role model that, you know, I believe that these athletes should be. It's a rite of passage to actually play a professional sport, and it's good to see that there are some guys doing the right thing.
And some other people that are doing the right thing that we have to say hello and thank you to is the clan of Sean Boyd's friends and family in Louisiana that have been tuning in, staying up late to listen to us live here on the Double with the Double S Express, since, you know, we are out west and it's not too late yet here out west on the West Coast, but back east it's getting dark and it's about bedtime. So thank you so much for listening, and we appreciate your support.
Yeah, definitely. The shouts out to the family down in Louisiana. And, you know, fear not, we are definitely going to get a chance to talk some great sports from down south. You know, we're going to get to that SEC, of course. I know there are a lot of LSU Tigers down there. And, yeah, we'll definitely get to that in the future.
That is the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 14, just about in the books. We had big-time guest Rashad Powell, who is commissioner and a player in the Seattle Basketball Pro-Am, and also big-time guest Paul Gackle, sports columnist at sfexaminer.com, as well as gacklereport.com.
Another great show in the books, Mr. Wally. I mean, you know, we are moving and shaking. I have to give you a pat on the back for all the hard work and dedication that you're doing to make sure, you know, behind the scenes stuff. And, of course, Don Newsom, our engineer extraordinaire, you know, kudos goes out to everybody that is making this a reality. And when I say this, I mean the Double S Express, a.k.a. DSX.
Hashtag DSX. And speaking of hashtag, you can find us on Twitter at Double S Express with no E, all one word, Double S Express. And, of course, our website for information on our next show, call-in numbers, our emails, as well as our on-demand shows, all past shows on demand at double-s-express.com, as well as the BBS Radio Archives. You can be a member and listen to over 80 shows of all genres, as well as ours on the Double with the Double S Express.
Exactly. And so, and if you wanted to email us, of course, our email addresses are on there. Sean Wally's email is Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-s-express.com. And, of course, mine is S-E-A-N, everything else after that as well.
Let's go out to the phone lines and welcome in big supporter of the Double S. Let's go to Gil. Gil, how are you tonight?
Hi, Sean. A great show. I thought I'd tune in and listen to you, and you all put on a great show as usual. Hey, Sean Wally, thank you for the big shout-out for my family in Louisiana. And also, I'm a big listener up here in Tacoma, Washington also. And you all do a fine job. Just want to give a little shout-out to my son, Sean. He'll be heading to the big island of Honolulu, Hawaii. He'll be taking his son to prep him for college there at Chaminade. So anyway, I just wanted to let you all know, hey, another great show, and appreciate what you all do.
Hey, thanks a lot. thanks a lot.
Yeah. I appreciate your kind words, and it's the least I can do. You guys are great supporters, and absolutely, Sean Boyd will be in Hawaii in the coming weeks. In fact, hoping to connect and do one of our shows from Hawaii. That will be an amazing experience for Sean Boyd, and I don't have to speak for you. You can speak on it.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to putting this show on next week from Honolulu. And so, you know, not the next week, but the following week after that, looking to bring the show from Honolulu, taking my son, as my dad just called in and explained, hey, I'm so proud of my family, so proud of, you know, my son receiving a full scholarship, full basketball scholarship to Chaminade University. Of course, they host the Maui Invitational, big time teams coming in November. Some of the teams that will be there, of course, Syracuse, Baylor, Arkansas, Cal will be there, just to name a few of the teams. And so, you know, last year, Chaminade upset Texas, a Big 12 opponent. And, of course, a couple of years prior, they upset Oklahoma. So it is an exciting time as a dad for me to get a chance to see, you know, my son going on to Honolulu. And, of course, it'll be a great visit there. But, you know, can't be remiss to talk about my youngest son also doing some great things in high school and football, Deshaun Boyd. He's going to be a terror on the gridiron.
Well, you mentioned your youngest son's name, and I don't believe anybody has mentioned the soon-to-be Chaminade basketball player's name. That is Devon Boyd, who's going to be doing great things over near as close as you can get to paradise, but he will have his nose in his books and in the gym. Devon Boyd doing great things on the hardwood.
You better believe it.
Yes, he's excited, and I'm a big backer, and of course Chaminade is on the map there, and I'm looking forward to that big tournament that'll be coming up in November also. Yeah, so you all do keep up the good work. Hey, you're a great team. I miss you all as announcers and commentators. They are doing the IBO season that was here in Tacoma a few years ago. But I know you all will be back. And, hey, keep up the good work. We love you. And do take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much, Gil. Back. Appreciate your time tonight and your faithful listening and backing of the Double S Express.
Thank you. You all take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Man.
That is a great call and great words from one Gil Boyd tonight, Sean.
Yeah, you know, for those who are just tuning in and listening and just kind of understanding the family tree, the lineage, you know, everything that I have learned, everything that I've done, you know, I have to give to Gil Boyd, my father, for that wisdom. You know, one of the things that, in case you don't know, he was one of the first, actually he was the first African-American head coach in the middle school, high school ranks in Tacoma, Washington. That is a huge, extraordinary feat. Wow. You know, and so, you know, a lot of the things that I learned from him. And shouts out to Dad, shouts out to my, you know, my family, you know, my lovely wife that's supporting, I'm sure listening to the show as well. But I didn't know that the show was going to turn this way. But but hey, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all my family and, you know, listening and friends as well. So keep tuning in. Again, double-s-express.com to listen to the shows, all the archives. bbsradio.com to listen to the show live. And, you know, again, it's been a great show, Sean. So that will be it for us for this episode number 14, show number 14. You are listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio. See you week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, the Double S Express. Join us next Monday. for great sports talk and big time guests on the Double, Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk the guy go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the...